9:48 as we continue on the Bob France Authority with our guest, Dr. Ron Martinelli, author of The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Dr. Ron is a forensic criminologist as well and a police practices expert. He has investigated over 200 police-involved shootings. Dr. Ron, the case in Charlotte, it just stuns me that this is still even considered remotely controversial. And yet here we sit because of Black Lives Matter and because of the nationally organized movement to ship and bus protesters in from outside of various cities where they want to tear the place down. Because of their efforts, a case that involved not an unarmed individual shot by police, but an armed individual who was instructed with de-escalation techniques to put the weapon down so that they can talk to him, drop the gun at least 13 times, they shouted on the video captured by the suspect's wife, Keith Lamont Scott, his wife. This is an armed individual that was shot by police because he refused to comply and presented a very clear and present danger to them. And yet still, dozens of officers were hurt. Lord knows how much property damage was done in 2 days of rioting and now three subsequent more peaceful days of protesting.
Yeah, you know, Bob, I've been independently conducting a forensic analysis on this case using both the cell phone videos of the wife and of the police department. You know, here's some new information for your listeners. And number one, the police have done the trace on the gun. I said last week that the gun would more likely than not be proven to be stolen. That was correct. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms did a great investigation. They actually found the burglar that stole the gun, and he has confessed to police that that he sold that gun to Keith Scott. And Keith Scott knew the gun was stolen. So we have Keith Scott in possession of a stolen handgun taken from a burglary. Now the records show that his wife, Rakia, who did the video, and everybody remember, she's yelling at the police, he's not armed, don't shoot him, he's not armed. Back on October 3rd of last year, she files a restraining order against her husband, and in the restraining order, and I've seen a copy of it, she says that he had beat and kicked her and their 8-year-old son, threatened to kill her, and was in possession of a black 9mm. She says in the report he carries a black 9mm, and he threatened to kill her and told her, he said, I'm a killer. So this is more of this information. I don't know if you've reported it, but I certainly have last week that he had 13 prior arrests, two for attempt, not one, but two for attempted murder with weapons. So this is the person that Black Lives Matter is forwarding as being a nice guy that the police just gunned down. Unbelievable.
Now, Dr. Ron, their argument is, because I have reported and discussed all of those things as well, their argument is the police officers on the scene knew none of that. They knew none of his history, the fact that he had 13 prior arrests, that he once tried to kill his wife and threatened to kill his wife and assaulted him and her and his son, et cetera, et cetera. So none of that matters. As far as they know, he could have been a Sunday school teacher because they didn't know any of those things. It still doesn't justify shooting him. That's what their argument is.
Yeah, Bob, you know, that's just background for your listeners, okay? But let's just take it this way. Let's say that all of that is irrelevant because in a court of law, the officers can only consider, in their calculus of force, they can only consider what is taking place in the totality of circumstances, and including their collective knowledge, which means their education, their training, their experience, moment to moment. And under those circumstances, again, the threshold issue is man with a gun won't put the gun down after 13 orders to do so. By the way, the time window is 50 seconds. So I've done every single command and how many seconds before the next command. Officers are trained in something referred to as submission or resistance recognition. The officers gave timely warnings. They waited. They gave timely warnings. They waited. And, you know, if the officer believes, hear it again, it's an objective issue. If the officer reasonably believed that Mr. Scott constitutes an imminent deadly threat, that officer, by law, can use deadly force against him. They're not required to use lesser levels of force, and they weren't in the physical position to use lesser levels of
force. Right. That's exactly right. And he had so many different opportunities. They tried to talk to him, but they can't talk to him while he's holding the gun. You got to put the gun down. They told him multiple times. And of course, you know, the argument now is, well, they didn't really have one. The cops planted it there, despite the fact that the investigators have already found the DNA and his DNA and his blood on the gun. The fact that he was wearing an ankle holster plainly visible in the video and in the still frames as well. None of those things seem to matter. Facts often don't matter to these people who are looking for reasons to riot. Now let's go to Tulsa, Oklahoma. This one is a little more complicated. This one, a police officer has already been charged. Betty Shelby has been charged with first-degree manslaughter in the shooting there of Terrence Crutcher, an unarmed man that the narrative is, in the same way that it was in Ferguson, that he was shot with his hands in the air. It was a lie in Ferguson, as proven by multiple investigations and the DOJ. And in this particular case, despite the video showing him put those hands down, one to his waist and the other inside the car that he was told to get away from, they're still saying he was shot with his hands up. What can you tell us?
Well, you know, Bill, Bob, you know, I work all sides. You know, for full disclosure, I think your listeners know that. This case in Tulsa is going to be, it's a different issue. It's going to be a problematic case. The district attorney feels that there's corpus or there's elements to charge. One of the issues is whether the district attorney waited for the investigation to conclude before charging. That's another issue. What we have to look at here, again, is objectivity versus subjectivity. An officer, in this case the female, can certainly say, well, I thought he was going to kill me. I thought there was an imminent threat to my life. But what the investigation has to show and isolate what were the actual objective and forensic issues that would lead a reasonable officer to believe that this man constituted a deadly force threat. And so they're going to look at things as whether the window was up or not. They're absolutely going to look at the position of hands and things like that. So that is a far more difficult issue than the Keith Scott shooting and also the one that we have in El Cajon.
Well, I would say this in response to that. Certainly, we have to wait for all of the investigative facts to come out. That is, of course, key to this. That's why I hate these riots, because they're going to riot before an investigation has begun, let alone been completed. And I don't want to be guilty of the same thing by prejudging a case. But just based on the information that has been presented thus far, I don't even see it as being that difficult, Dr. Ron. She is a trained drug recognition expert and identified as soon as she arrived on the scene that he was probably under the influence of PCP. Very easy to recognize for an expert. And indeed, they found PCP in his truck. And that's why she immediately called for backup. If this is just, hey, there's a guy with a car broken down on the road, backup usually isn't called. Something made her call for backup before the video ever was turned on. His erratic behavior, which we don't know because the video wasn't there, but she said she recognized right away, called for backup, that this guy could be very dangerous. That's why she ordered him away from the car, which she said was running when she arrived. It wasn't broken down or stalled. It's facing the wrong way, you know, on the other side of the double yellow line, facing traffic, and it's running. And she did not want him to get into it either, perhaps either to get into the vehicle and drive off, Lord knows putting how many people in danger, or pull something from it. When he does not comply, and this to me is the key, Dr. Ron, when he does not comply and he is potentially on a drug that she identified, he is a very dangerous person. And it is only that officer who can determine exactly how much danger she feels she is in before she has to decide to use force.
Well, you know, Bob, there's no disagreement there. But again, we have to, and certainly, and I'm also a drug recognition expert because of my medical background.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is certainly a very dangerous situation to be in. I've had my share of PCP suspects when I was on the job. The key issue.
Tell people, by the way, hey, Dr. Ron, tell people, just get into that for a second. Tell people how dangerous somebody is who is on PCP really is, because I mean people need to hear about almost superhuman strength that they have. Nothing will affect them. A taser, those kinds of things, they are just extraordinarily when they're wired on PCP. I mean, they're wired.
Bob, you know, I could tell you stories that would set your hair up in the air of suspects that I personally believe have observed do crazy things and also have fought under the influence of PCP.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember more than one time when we had five or six officers on top of somebody trying to restrain them, and they were throwing us off like we were rag dolls. I watched a man stick his hand through a plate glass window, his arm through a plate glass window, get his arm nearly severed, and just with one ligament, as he's bleeding out and he is taking his almost severed arm with another arm and throwing it into the rest of the window. Okay, that, and with no pain whatsoever.
Right.
So, I mean, that kind of pain.
That makes them very dangerous. And so when you recognize somebody is on PCP, you know, and again, like I said, I and we'll see what the investigation shows. I don't want to prejudge everything, as I said, but that's exactly why she called for backup. She knew that this was a very, potentially a very violent situation she was about to encounter.
Oh, sure. You know, and anybody that doesn't call for backup in a situation like that is nuts. But what I think everybody's going to look at is, was the window rolled up? Was the window rolled down? What exactly he was doing with his hands? If the video is good, what people like us do is we will enhance that video and we will go frame by frame on that video, because here's what the district attorney has to be able to establish, that there was either the presence or the lack of objective cause for this officer to use deadly force. That's going to be the threshold issue here.